Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome to today's special St. Patrick's Day Upfront. You might be wondering how we can give Upfront a St. Patrick's Day spin. Well, to mark the occasion, I couldn't resist the chance to speak to a member of the Republic of Ireland squad who are heading down under this summer and representing Ireland women in our first ever major tournament. And who better to speak to than Birmingham City's Louise Quinn, who's been in the national setup since 2008. Hope you enjoy it. Well, Louise Quinn, welcome to the pod. Cade Mila Fulcher.
Oh, Tommy, go mock out of mock us.
We'll teach our listeners a couple of fuckle now for St. Patrick's Day.
Don't test me too much now. Yeah, that's pretty much all I've got.
Yeah, no, we'll leave the Irish there now, don't worry.
Yeah.
Well, the Irish language anyway, but not the Irishness, because this pod, for St. Patrick's Day, happy St. Patrick's Day. It's going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to it. And obviously we're speaking a few days before the event. How would you normally celebrate it? Are you going to get to celebrate it this year?
For us, I just think we'll be back in the training ground. So, yeah, we like to kind of bring a nice Irish feel where we can. I feel like Lucy Quinn has supplied some sort of Irish goods or tattoos or something. And obviously just wear a bit of green. But, yeah, in general, I just think it'll be, yeah, just kind of celebrating the day, especially kind of on socials and just always being proud of where we come from.
Now, we're going to get onto the World Cup, but for our listeners' benefit, I want them to get an idea of just how much this Irish team has, you know, taken hold of the country back home. Because on St. Patrick's Day, I'm right in thinking the team has been asked to kind of lead the St. Patrick's Day parade in Dublin, which is a massive, like, such a big honour. Tell the listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah, so obviously, yeah, so the parade will take, you know, go ahead on the Friday, but which is obviously tough for, you know, for a lot of us that are over here in England, as that's, you know, most people's training day, unfortunately. So yeah, personally, I won't be able to be there, which, as is, it's a huge event and a huge honor, and so we're absolutely gutted that it's, you know, just hasn't fallen on the, you know, the right day for us. Thursday, I'd say, you know, the entire team would have been there if that was the case, but yeah, for us, it's everything you've watched when you're growing up as a kid, either watched it on TV or headed into, you know, your local parade or the main one in Dublin. You know, it was a massive day out. It's what it's all about. It's the atmosphere. It's the creativity. It's the pride. So for the team to kind of be able to at least be, you know, marshals, and there'll be, you know, a few of the girls there for sure. Diane, Vera, you know, I'm sure another few, you know, will hopefully be able to pop along. But it's a huge honour. It really is.
So between that and the Late Late Toy Show, which for our listeners' benefit is a cultural phenomenon in Ireland that happens, and let's see if I can describe this succinctly. Mm-hmm. It happens once a year on a late show talk show that we have every Friday, and the last Friday of every November. They bring in all the latest toys and gadgets, and they bring on kid guests who basically demonstrate all of these toys, and all the family and people in the audience, they dress up and they go away with, it's one of these one for everyone in the audience type gigs, and everyone goes away with all sorts at the end of the night. And I tell you what, as a kid, you grow up watching it. As an adult, I don't know about you, but I still watch it. Yeah. For you guys to actually be guests on that, like, it's hard to say now between that and the parade, like, that's huge. Like, this team has, like, seriously captured the nation when you look at the things that you're being invited to.
Yeah, that was, I was nervous going on the Late Late Toy Show. That was, we were so excited, you know, going up, we kind of had to sneak into the RTE studios. They didn't know that, you know, some of the players were coming along to, you know, to surprise this young girl. But for us, this is the ultimate, that's the dream. You know, I can't really pick and choose, but obviously at the moment, the Late Late Toy Show is top right now. After qualifying for the World Cup, the Late Late Toy Show is next in line of my achievements. And it was, we were so excited, so nervous, and we were, you know, waiting in the wings to go on the stage. And it's all, you know, they really have to turn over the show really, really quickly. You know, it's run so well, but it's kind of organized chaos as well, because it's a show filled with kids also. And that's, you know, could be a disaster, and potential adults and guests could also be a disaster. So we were waiting in the wings, and there was me, Anya, and Jamie Finn. And yeah, we were waiting to go on. We were told that we were going to be the first players on the stage. But then, you know, Ryan Tuberty started calling out the names, and we weren't there. So we, like, turned around to one another, like, I was like, that's not us, that's not me. And she was like, right, it's okay. And then he called out the next group, and I was like, that's still not us. And we were like, if we don't get called on,
you're bursting onto the stage.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going on regardless. I am going on regardless. Because it was already like 11 o'clock at night at this stage. So we just, yeah. But then finally, Ryan called our names out to walk on stage and surprise this young girl. And it was just brilliant to be in the studio, to be on the stage, to actually see what it was like in person.
I was very jealous. But my first question was going to be about the impact of qualifying for the World Cup and how and the impact it's had in Ireland. And I think culturally there's two really good examples of the breakthrough and impact that the team has had. But for that girl that you surprised, they're sending her to Australia, aren't they? Her and her family, and she's going to be going to some of the games. So like, you've got fans like that now that are desperate to be watching and to be following you guys. So like, have you seen kind of any, I guess anecdotally, any of those changes in terms of next generation kind of thing?
Yeah, I just think you're seeing it constantly. I was actually even just looking at a tweet there in the last hour, and I just retweeted it. That, you know, so obviously there was a massive tragedy in Creaslock in Donegal, where there was that, you know, gas explosion, and you know, it was really, really unfortunate that, yeah, many people were injured and unfortunately passed away. But I saw this tweet, and they started just kind of like a girls football training or a girls team. And you know, this town is tiny, you know, really, really small. And apparently from the age of 5 to 15 year olds, they already have 65 girls that have come, and that's every week. And you know, for us, you know, that was such a poignant moment. But obviously when Amber scored that goal, you know, we were wearing black armbands for Creaslock, for the people there, and a Donegal woman, you know, scored the winner. It's given me goosebumps already. But you know, and we celebrated that, and that was part of her celebration. She started that. It was, you know, it was meant to be. And yeah, to kind of see now that also that they've started that, it's brought a community together even more, that football can do it, that, you know, I've no doubt that, you know, Amber Barrett is their hero. And for me, that's, and I literally only saw that an hour ago, and it was amazing. It was incredible to see that, and to see, you know, what sort of impact, you know, representing your country and winning football games and getting a World Cup, what it can do for people, and it really can lift spirits.
I'll take you back to that night, actually, because, you know, I remember it very, very clearly, and even describing it there, like the goosebumps you get. Can you even describe that moment? Never mind, like, because there were so many moments in it. You know, there was the penalty save. You know, there was clearing the ball being cleared off the line at half, just before half time, the goal going in, the final whistle. It must have been a roller coaster.
Yeah, it had everything, and it was, I suppose for me personally, I did feel this just massively confident going into the game, and of course leading up to it there were nerves, but I don't know, it just, things just seemed to be going right. You know, and I think we just, even for us, we started the game really well. And, you know, and for us starting the game really well was, you know, obviously being defensively solid, but like winning 50-50 challenges, breaking transition and getting forward, you know, even straight from the start, you know, Casey was terrorizing, you know, their fullbacks. I think it was, you know, Lisa at the time, and they obviously know each other. But just, it is just small moments like that. Everyone was just winning their individual battles, and we were working really well. We were moving across the pitch really well. When we had the chances to, you know, to get forward, we did. We were getting, you know, plenty of Megan Campbell's throw-ins, you know, and you know, those sort of things are important to us and relax you into a game. You know, so even when there was the penalty, again, I still had this kind of like, right, you know, Courtney can save this, but also penalties are penalties. It's a, you know, it's a real toss of the coin sometimes. But I was like, if we go 1-0 down, we'll be okay. I just felt like, I was like, this will be okay. But yeah, the few minutes before we arrived at the stadium, Casey was saying that Courtney was, you know, was watching penalties being taken by Scottish players, and obviously Caroline Weir would have been one of them. you know, and that was 5 minutes before we were arriving to the stadium for the game. So, you know, everyone just did their little bit, and just to make sure that they were as totally prepared as they could be, you know, and something again, it just kind of showed, and we, you know, we watched the video clip back when we were going over it and watched the penalty save. But the, you know, as soon as it was kicked and saved, there was 10 Irish people around the ball to make sure that we were following in no matter what happened. You know, and it just showed that we were so prepared. I think there was potentially one or two Scottish players in the box at the time. And, you know, it's those little moments that you're like, yeah, do you know what? Courtney's going to save it. We're going to make sure no one else gets this rebound. And it was, you know, it was actually a brilliant video to watch just to show how ready we are, how much we had that confidence in Courtney that she was going to save us. And it was like the whistle went and my body just collapsed for a couple of seconds. Like I did just fall to my knees. But then, you know, was back up in a second. And yeah, Heather Payne comes running towards me and just, you know, absolutely leaps on me. And we just start running around like mad things. And yeah, it was... Yeah. It's only sometimes when you look back at, like, you know, the pictures that you, you know, that you've taken and videos as well. You had a brilliant one of some of the celebrations. And there's one where Clara Reardon just runs directly across the camera, but she's like lost and she's hit her top speed. Like, I hope she had her GPS on because she absolutely was rapid down the line, just celebrating. And the girls were, you know, if they were coming off the bench, were, you know, doing a John Terry and taking off their warm-up top so they could be in the jersey. And, you know, it was just looking back on those moments as well. They're a lot of the little things that you don't see, but were just so joyous.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In terms of that qualification campaign, because a lot of the time, especially the last game, what kind of knockout stage you went into, the Scotland game, like just a win wasn't enough. Like there were so many other factors that it almost felt a bit like destiny. Maybe that's being cheesy, but that's what it felt like from the outside. But as a squad going through those games together and that qualification together, that must have really bonded you.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. We, you know, everything just fell into place at the right time. You know, the qualification process, if you haven't finished as a, you know, in first place in your group, is extremely, extremely difficult and complicated. And you know, probably now the most complicated system they've ever created, to be honest. And, you know, for us, it was then the mindset was just go win our games and then see where it takes us. Just put it in our hands. And then, yeah, and then you need, yeah, you need luck and you need, you know, other teams' results to go your way and goal difference and everything for, you know, for the likes of then Portugal to beat Iceland. You know, which was potentially unexpected, as Iceland were ranked as a top seed. Again, that just saved us another round of playoff games, and it just all seemed to work out. And obviously, the game was played the same day as ours, but a couple of hours earlier. So, you know, so at halftime, we actually knew that Portugal had beaten Iceland, which. I think, yeah, Vera said it to me after. She was like, did you actually want me to tell you? I didn't really know what to do. And I was like, for me personally, it was perfect. It made that last, you know, when we scored in, was it maybe the 76 minutes or so, like that last 15, 20 minutes just gave you that extra fire. Just, you know, pushed through. Absolutely, there was no hesitation in anything that we were doing. You know, so it was, yeah, to have just everything fall in place. Yeah, I would use the word destiny as well. You're dead right. It was it felt like it was just meant to be.
I was watching it. There was a few of the photographers there, the guys who do all your games back in Ireland as well, and it was really nice to be watching it with people who were as invested as I was, like, because a lot of the time you've got a lot of like professional photographers there who have been sent by an agency, and you know they enjoy their job, but they're not that fussed one way or the other, right? But like these guys were proper. We were all so invested, and it upped the levels, like the emotion levels, just watching it as well. It just made it so much better. But I'm right in thinking you've been involved. You're involved in the last kind of major tournament playoff that Ireland were in, which ended in a 3-0 defeat. Yes. What was different this time around, other than maybe the players?
So yeah, I think over the two legs it maybe finished 4-1. So I think it was 1-1 in the home leg, and then I think 3-0 away in Iceland. And that was 2008. Yeah. 2008-2009. And I suppose kind of, and at that stage that was for the Euros. And for me, I was just so kind of fresh in the squad. I probably just didn't realise maybe how big it was. You know what I mean? But everything to me, even being in the Irish squad was massive enough, and was already, you know, felt like a lot of pressure. So probably the less I knew about it, the better, to be honest, because, I think the nerves just would have taken over. But to kind of be in the dressing room with such, you know, trailblazers and legends of the, you know, legend of the game. And maybe, you know, you obviously know of some of it while you're in there and you know the top players, but it's kind of like once they're gone and you look back, you're like, wow, you know, the amount that they have done for this team, for the country, to make sure that, you know, they're putting us in a great position to push forward, and just also just women to look up to, which was sometimes hard at the time. It wasn't as visible as it is now. But to kind of be then around, you know, those sort of people was massively motivating. It was really difficult because, yeah, the conditions were absolutely brutal for that Iceland game. You know, there would never be a game played on it again. Or I suppose, unfortunately, it did happen this season with Liverpool and Chelsea, I think, wasn't it, where it looked like they were playing on an ice rink. And I can tell you it was exactly like that.
Like when you talk about the controllables and the uncontrollables, things like a dangerous pitch shouldn't be an uncontrollable. That's something that you would think is just going to be sorted out for you and you don't have to worry about. But like you say, 2008, it's and 2022, you finally qualified. Did you think it would take this long? Or, I don't know, is it almost like better that way, that you've gone through this since 2008 and now 2022 you've qualified?
yeah, I suppose personally, I wouldn't change my journey or my path through this at all. But yeah, do you think maybe or hope that it would have happened earlier? Of course. And I suppose you'd potentially think that the process of qualifying for Euros is slightly more realistic. Again, as we've seen, qualifying for a World Cup can be, you can still be the second best team in your group and even have great results against the top team. But if other results don't go your way in other groups, it's really, really difficult. So it felt so still so far away, like when we maybe didn't qualify for the Euros, that obviously took place then. Then last year, I felt like that was our big chance and one of our best chances. And I think, yeah, just kind of being in that position for us for kind of one of the first times as that group was very, very difficult. But from, you know, the growth from that campaign, you know, losing to the Ukraine, I again just wouldn't change it, because kind of took this fear out of my football, because I was like, well, I feel like that's in terms of in sporting terms, that was kind of near rock bottom, in terms of losses, in terms of a kind of dream being crushed. You know, it was, you know, probably one of the worst feelings I've had on a football pitch ever. So yeah, so to kind of how we pushed on from that is, yeah, it's made the group even tighter when we were already a great group, a great unit. Yeah, it's just made us better. So yeah, for me personally, I wouldn't change a thing.
I guess that, like, resilience, it's not something you can learn. Like, it's not a skill you can learn on a football pitch. You kind of have to go through the tougher times to build that resilience. And I guess it's all those little pieces of a puzzle that get you to where you are. And I wonder if, you know, having not qualified for the Euros, COVID kind of put all those qualification tournaments then back to back, and you had no choice but to just get back on the road to qualification again. Did it, it almost, obviously it was a very low point, but you had to, like, get back on it, on the bike again, if you like, and get onto the road to qualification. You didn't have a longer period to kind of dwell.
Yeah, international football can be, you know, a really strange one. Obviously you're with your club, and each week you can keep trying to improve it and make things better, and, you know, bring you closer together, and, you know, and also kind of review these games and, you know, go back over them. But yeah, as soon as, you know, we finished that Ukraine game, yeah, the next morning we were all on separate flights back to where we, back to our clubs. You know, you almost didn't have time to process it kind of together as a group, because international football, it just moves so fast, and you've within, you know, having the one of, you know, kind of the toughest moments in my football career, within a day and a half I was back at my club, and I just had to, you kind of just have to get on with it, and just keep going and keep rolling and know that, yeah, you may have to wait another few months, but you'll be back together, and then this is where we kind of rebuild and go again. And I think even just, yeah, that time just gave people, you know, time to process it and kind of, you know, get rid of it. Personally, I didn't watch the game back. I just couldn't. But also for me, it was, I just felt like I didn't need to. It was at times just bad luck and kind of nerves that kind of took over. It wasn't, for me, it just wasn't necessarily something that I had to relive. I knew how painful it was, and in my head I knew how I had to improve to make sure that, yeah, I was still my best, because I think going into that game I was incredibly nervous and didn't really know how to control it. So for me, I was just like, if I control that, I can then put forward, you know, better performances for Ireland.
To go, it's amazing. That makes it all the more impressive when a team can go from such a low point to then kind of qualifying for the next major tournament. It really is like putting demons to bed really quickly. But, like, you know, you talk about your journey in football and how you wouldn't change it. But, you know, when you look at what you guys did back in 2017, you were part of the group of players who secured better working conditions for the team, mm-hmm. You know, and just as a reminder to listeners, you said you had to share tracksuits at junior teams. You're switching tracksuits in airport toilets, and then you look at where you are now in just less than 6 years. Like, talk us through what was going on at that time, and what your feelings were generally being in the squad, just to kind of give us a contrast of where you are now.
Yeah, I think one thing that hasn't changed is just the group and the environment that we have. You know, for me, it's something that's always been really, really strong. You know, and to say that, yeah, potentially it has only got stronger, because I think we have that extra confidence. But for us to kind of be able to step forward, you know, and it's especially the likes of Emma Byrne, always, you know, she put her neck on the line for us. Again, Anya O'Gorman, who's still in the squad, still going. Again, she was, you know, a massive representative for us to, you know, to go forward with this and link in with the PFAI. So it was. I would say that's one thing that hasn't changed. That sort of togetherness, unity, the crack, you know, everything. It's always, people love coming away for camp. You know, it's rare when, you know, you don't want to go away, because, you know, maybe sometimes if the football isn't going your way, that we're going to, you know, just enjoy playing our football, enjoy spending that time together, enjoy creating friendships and memories, but also, you know, doing it and representing your country, to always wear that jersey. But yeah, at that stage, it was, yeah, there just were not the right resources. There was not the support. We felt like at that stage that the association didn't have, you know, that belief or that confidence that we could kind of go on and actually challenge and compete, and just how important it was to grow football in Ireland. And that's even, you know, giving, and that's starting from grassroots as well. So where young girls and boys can just see that actually, yeah, football, soccer is for everyone. You know, and especially when you're representing your country, you just want that kind of equality in terms of resources, facilities, and just being given the best chance that you can be for your country. You know, and the resources were there, it was all there, but, you know, we weren't allowed to touch it, that sort of thing. It just wasn't good enough for players to, you know, literally almost have to pay to play for their country. And, you know, especially the girls in Ireland, having either going to university or having jobs at home, they used to have to, you know, constantly ask for time off, constantly take their holidays, so, you know, unpaid holidays, to come away and represent their country. It just wasn't right. And that's how we've lost, you know, so many players through the process. I think we've lost so much talent because some of these things have just taken over, because people have to pay their bills and live their life and have that sort of stability. And unless you were, you know, potentially abroad, that was, you know, really, really difficult. And still, even at that, if you were still abroad, that wasn't a guarantee. You know, we were absolutely petrified, but we had no doubt kind of in our minds what we had to do.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that 2017, and then just six short years later, you're going to be in Australia, New Zealand in your first ever major tournament at a World Cup, which is pretty incredible. Hopes in the summer. What's the you know, the ultimate goal, I'm sure, is getting out of the group. But like, mm-hmm. What are you kind of expecting? How much are you looking forward to it? Can you believe you're opening against the hosts? Like, it's just a dream, I imagine.
Yeah, it's up there with one of the kind of ideal scenarios, you know, that you can have for your first tournament, first game, to be able to play one of the hosts. You know, so I was really, really hoping that we would get Australia or New Zealand, because, yeah, to play the host in the first game, with, you know, what's guaranteed to be a packed stadium, is the dream. And obviously then there was the rumours that they were going to switch to a larger stadium, which again has happened, and And for us, I think as well, as Irish people, there are plenty over there in Australia. You know, I've even had one of my friends from college message me today just to say that she's finally gotten her tickets to the Australia game. So again, I've just, you know, it's constant, you know, the amount of messages that I get, you know, either people, if I can get them tickets or that they've got their tickets or, you know, so for us, the support, it will be huge for us. You know, it's going to create one of the best atmospheres, that you can kind of wish for. And our expectation is to get points on the board, is to compete, is to, you know, to play our game, frustrate teams, you know, but we feel like we do have a threat everywhere. You know, we constantly want to improve, and, you know, we're building on that and, you know, tweaking a few little things, but we know that we have a really solid foundation, and, you know, and we've proven it against top seeded teams as well, that we can make games really, really difficult.
Well, I will be down there as well, following every step of the journey and bringing it to our listeners. So here's hoping that the preparations go well and that destiny and that look of the Irish follows you down under as well. Because, yeah, I'm sure a lot of us, not just Irish fans, I think a lot of people will be rooting for the team.
Yeah, we hope so. And yeah, we just want to make everyone proud as well. I think that's the most important thing, and just do our country proud.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this St. Patrick's Day special, full of Irishness. Hopefully our listeners enjoyed, and yeah, we'll definitely speak to you again soon. Slán.
Slán. Thanks, Rach.
Upfront is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster, Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.